Hello, everyone. This is Dave Hughes from the Corporate Marketing Group here at Worldwide Technology. We are recording live from the global headquarters in St. Louis here at Worldwide Technology headquarters. And we're going to welcome you to the latest episode of Tech 17, our podcast series, which talks about the key and hot topics in the enterprise space in IT. So today we're going to be talking about a topic that's been discussed quite a bit recently and has gained a lot of importance in the enterprise space, and it's called Branch of the Future. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to talk about a specific application in Branch of the Future. So before we get started today, I want to introduce our two experts, both from Worldwide Technology, who are going to be talking with us about this today. And it's Dan Rojas and Joe Hayline from WWT. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
Okay, guys. Well, before we get started, maybe Joe and Dan, you can give us a little bit about your roles here at Worldwide, maybe your titles, and tell us what you do here. So, Joe, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm Joe Hayline. I'm part of the business development team at Worldwide Technology Asynchrony Labs, specifically working with products and partnerships. And Dan?
Yeah, Dan Rojas, consultant, principal consultant with the East CTO team, supporting the East team at Worldwide.
Okay. All right. Great, guys. Well, let's get into it. Before we get into the specific industry application that we want to talk about, I thought we could maybe open up the discussion. And you guys, you know, Branch of the Future is a topic that gets talked about a lot. It's, you know, in the literature a lot. It's kind of in the eco space of IT quite a bit. So, but maybe before we could start, maybe you guys can just tell us kind of in your own words, you know, for our listeners, kind of what is Branch of the Future? So Dan, maybe we'll start with you.
Sure. So Branch of the Future addresses a particular enterprise that has a central headquarters with normal corporate functions, but their delivery model is regarding local delivery. So typical retailers might be JCPenney's, Macy's, retailers that have a requirement to touch the customer locally and deliver products and services on a local basis.
Yeah, and I think what's unique about Branch of the Future is that it marries the traditional strengths of Worldwide Technology and Asynchrony Labs in our best-class delivery at scale and our digital experience expertise, and then being able to package that up into a managed service offering that includes everything you need to both understand the tech you're going to install, get it deployed at scale, manage it, and then get analytics and business outcomes on top of it that we manage to those outcomes rather than just to the devices or the keeping the lights on.
Okay. All right, great. So I think, you know, when people think about Branch of the Future, I think probably the two verticals that come to mind most frequently are, like, you know, retailers, you know, like Dan was talking about, financial services like bank branches. But we're going to talk about one today that maybe people might not think about, maybe top of mind when they think about Branch of the Future, and that's auto dealers. And I think auto dealers is pretty interesting because I think we've all bought many cars. We've all been in a lot of auto dealers. So I think it's going to hit home, you know, with a lot of us, you know, even on the consumer side. So let's talk about auto dealers specifically, and that kind of an application for Branch of the Future. So what is it about auto dealerships that really provides an opportunity for this kind of transformation? And Dan, why don't I start with you on that?
Sure. Well, first of all, the automobile market in the United States represents about 3% of the U.S. GDP. So it's a huge part of our economy, and a lot of that finished product is transacted through dealers. And so there are a number of factors that are driving a need for change in dealerships today. First, and I'll address three of them from a dealer perspective. The first one is that auto sales peaked in 2016 at about 17.6 million vehicles sold. 2017 and 2018 have remained flat or slightly declined. So you have a flat market, and that's the first component. The second component is that over the last 4 years, digital ad spend has nearly doubled. So from 2014 at $6 billion to 2018, north of $11 billion. Dealers have been spending to drive traffic to the dealership. So the cost of sales has increased. And the third component is that the gross margin per new car sold has shrunk. So it was north of $2,000 per car sold, and today it's south of $2,000 gross profit per car sold. So those three factors, a flat market, increase in cost sales, and decreasing profit, is driving dealerships to consider how they're doing business. Now, in the environment today, many of these same dealers have been doing business or do business today the way they've been doing business for the past few decades. They spend a lot of money in terms of TV ad, radio, and web ad to drive foot traffic to the dealership. That's the first component. The second component is that a lot of what they measure stops at the kind of traffic they're getting on those websites and the kind of correlation they see between that activity on site and what they see at the dealership. And the third is, how are the dealers equipped to address the traffic that they do see at the dealership once they get there? And based on surveys that we've been seeing, there's a lot of frustration on the consumer end. And the two statistics I'll quote is that a lot of consumers queried are dissatisfied with the amount of time it takes to buy a car. They have to repeat information on the website. They have to repeat information when they're at the dealer. They have to repeat information when they're on the phone talking to a business development center. So there's a lot of inefficiency and frustration. And then there's the remaining part of the journey, which is the insurance and financing part of the car purchase, which takes a lot of time. So all of these lend to an experience where consumers have to undergo to make the second most significant purchase in their life, and most consumers are not satisfied with that. And so let's talk about the consumer perspective. The consumers have changed a lot in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty important distinction of what that consumer experience is like, because in the research we've looked at, 5 years ago, the average consumer went to five different dealerships and saw the merchandise in person. Today, they spend 20 hours researching online before they even come into the store or come into the dealership to do a test drive. And that same customer experience that they expect out of, you know, application-enabled pizza delivery or buy online, pick up in store capabilities that they get on even small $20 purchases, they don't necessarily get in a dealership environment. And I think they expect those experiences to be there, and they're not.
And so there are surveys today that show that if part of the purchasing process were enabled online, consumers are more likely to go with a dealer that offer that capability. So there's tremendous opportunity in the friction that is seen in today's dealership experience.
So it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity. There's really a need from a customer standpoint for this type of transformation. But I guess my next question, and I'll pose this to you first, Dan, is are the auto dealers, are they ready for this? Are they ready for this transportation? And kind of what are you seeing in the marketplace right now along those lines?
So what we're seeing in the marketplace is that dealers are addressing this, are addressing parts of the customer journey, but there's no end-to-end process that is stitched together that optimizes the customer journey. So, for example, some dealers emphasize the consumer experience on websites, and so they'll put in video capability to enable the consumer to see the product, and they'll provide updated inventories in so what's reflected on the website is what's reflected on the lot, or they'll put kiosks in the dealership to enable consumers to get information without necessarily having to talk to a sales associate. But there are many steps to buying a car, And to this point, we haven't seen an end-to-end solution stitched together that optimizes that consumer experience.
Yeah, we see competition in the space from companies like Carvana, who are doing an all-digital type experience where you're looking and searching in an app, you're having vehicles delivered to your door. So you can see that there's a desire for that experience and that that's compelling enough that there's significant business coming to Carvana because of that and other digital competitors like them. But there's a lot of strength in the brick and mortar dealership and being able to walk in and test drive a car and see different options and maybe try something you wouldn't have thought of before. And if you can find a marriage of the strengths of brick and mortar with a good digital experience that ties online to in-store and is able to, you know, have the analytics you need to understand the marketing that's effective and the experiences that are effective, you kind of can have the best of both worlds there. That's what we haven't seen to date, but we know it's possible from other industries and other customers that we're working with.
Yeah, we recently came back from Digital Dealership Conference in Las Vegas, and some of the surveys shared with us were that while the surveys showed that consumers preferred to begin the process and then the process online, the vast majority of consumers also needed to take a test drive. So they need to really touch the product. So the dealerships aren't going the way the customer preference for wanting to touch the product that represents the second biggest purchase in their life. The dealer is not going away. There is a requirement by customers to be able to touch and feel and test drive the car that they're going to purchase.
Mm-hmm. So, and Joe, I think you were alluding to some of the previous experience that we've had with other companies. So I'm curious as to what applications have we drawn from other industries, like say retail, for example, that, you know, that we can use to really look at how this can be applied to auto dealers.
Yeah, I think there are quite a few examples that we can apply. In the fast casual restaurant space, there's some good examples with customers we've worked with that around creating customizations that are customizing menus for a customer's preference. You can think of when you go online and you build your own car, the color preferences and the style preferences you pick. If you can translate those to when they walk in store and give the salesperson the information about what those preferences are, you can tailor that experience to see and test drive the cars that are really going to resonate with that customer. There's also a lot of location-based targeted marketing we've been doing with retail customers, where they want to have they want to know where they are in the location and where the merchandise is in the location and be able to browse a dealership and see the cars that are there or understand what current inventory is, like some of the things Dan mentioned that dealerships are trending towards. And even the impulse buy aspect, if they see an ad online, how easy is it for them to schedule a test drive and come drive that vehicle? There's a lot of impulse buy in retail and lessons learned in retail on how to make that decision to try as easy as possible. And a lot of that can be enabled through mobile apps or website integrations that make that simple to do.
Okay. And the business impact here, on CNBC, the CEO of Panera Bread was interviewed, and he conveyed that their digital journey, they began roughly 4 years ago in 2014. And the business impact is that this year they'll see one-third of their total sales attributed to their digital capability, their mobile app, their kiosks, and roughly the experience enabled by this digital online capability makes the experience, the Panera experience, valuable to the customer. And they've been able to monetize that. That third of the sales is roughly over $2 billion in 2018. So it's a big, significant business impact that has been seen by Panera.
Yeah, there are customers out there in this day and age that are uncomfortable walking into a dealership and having to negotiate with a salesperson, but totally willing to pick up an app and schedule a test drive. So that new digital experience is important for a whole segment of the market.
Right. Okay. Well, let's let's kind of wrap up in kind of our remaining couple minutes and just kind of cut to the chase, I guess. So if I own an auto dealership and I decide, yeah, you know what, this is the kind of transformation journey that we know, you know, that we need to embark on. What are my options to get started on this transportation journey? So, Dan?
Sure. So the dealer has a number of options. They have a spectrum of options. So on one end of the spectrum, the dealer can try and pull all the technology components together that render that customer experience they're looking for. And that would require all kinds of expertise, mobility expertise, software expertise, network expertise, and they would act as the integrator. On the other end of the spectrum, they would work with a solution provider like Worldwide that encompasses the required expertise in the different stacks of technology to be able to render that capability, that customer experience.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so great about Branch of the Future is that it wraps up all of those different things that are needed by a dealership. And we typically start the conversation with what are the business outcomes you're hoping to achieve, whether it's, you know, better attribution of online ads to physical presence detection, whether it's you know, better utilization of your salespeople to the most important customers that are coming into your site, the most qualified. We can wrap all of those experiences in, starting with what technology you're going to need to enable that experience and do a lab as a service to show that off, working with the right technology and digital innovations, and then delivering that with applications that integrate it from a software perspective, deliver it at scale around the world.
Well, I think I can speak for most customers, and I think we've all walked into an auto dealership to buy a car, and it's always a little stressful, you know, to do that. It's a big purchase. So I think anything that can be done to kind of make that a less stressful experience for us customers will be great, and I think appreciate it. And it's going to be great for the auto dealers, too, for them as well. So with that, that wraps up our episode of Tech 17. So again, I want to thank Joe and Dan for joining us today. Thanks, guys.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
All right, cool. All right, guys. So again, for our listeners, thanks for joining us on Tech 17. As I always do, if you're not a subscriber, please subscribe. It is free. Our Tech 17 podcasts are available on iTunes, and they're also available on really all software platforms where podcasts are available. Please check out the episode notes. We'll have a couple links in there to some other content to provide a deeper dive into some of the issues that we talked about today. So again, thanks for joining us today on Tech 17, and we'll see you next time.